Good morning. It's a new day, and it's a new leg of our journey together. And we've been together, some of us, for decades, and yet this new day is a new journey. And to commemorate that, I don't know if this is the best idea I ever had or the worst idea I ever had. I put on my hiking clothes this morning. And I'm right with my hiking boots and everything, and fair warning, because it was a brand new idea, these have not been laundered for the last few hikes, and this week, and I thought, well, you know what, we're all on this journey together, just like Abraham, going off into this new leg together. I'm sure he didn't launder his clothes as much as we would like him to either, right? And so here we go. It was my intention on this series to take the story of Abraham all the way through to the end of the way Genesis chronicles it, but we aren't going to do that because of the shift that has taken place with us, this rather big shift. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, we as Verde Valley Christian Church, VVCC, are merging with Christ Church of the Valley, CCV, and that is coming December 22nd. And if you want to know a whole lot more about that, I would urge you to go to our website, take a look at the video there, and if you want more details, I would suggest, if you're interested, listen to the message last week. I'm not going to go into those details any further today, but what does it mean for us and our faith? We are in this series, Blessed to Bless, and this is part four, and by decision, my decision, that God placed upon me, this is the conclusion of this series as we get on to other things that we need to get on to while we're preparing for this big shift for us. So, blessing flows from obedience. That's today's lesson. Blessing flows from obedience. Now, I mentioned this in week one. Now, mind you, in week one, in this series, which I know it's odd because it was more than 4 weeks ago, we had no idea this big shift was going to take place. And so my plans for the series was completely different. And it's amazing how God is just keep shaping and reshaping what we need to hear. And I have new discoveries in the process that I've never seen before in text that I'm very excited to share with you today as we continue on. But in week one, I said, Abraham is not the hero of the story. God is the hero of the story. So when we talk about Abram in the story today, we're talking about Abraham, who experienced a name change. Sounds familiar? Yes. And this name change didn't change who he was, but it shaped his identity for the future dramatically, and we're going to experience the same. And he's not the hero. God is the hero. Now, look in the mirror. You're not the hero of your own story either. God is the hero of your story, and he wants to be on center stage. Step off center stage. Let him take center stage because he writes a whole better story than you would ever come up with. And we're going to see how God wrote Abraham's story today. So he's more of a bumbler. We can identify. He has hesitancy, and we're going to see that today. And God gets very clear with him, like he's gotten very clear with me. And it is really interesting to walk this ride together and get in our traveling shoes and join in this leg of the journey. So let's begin with a story. Decades ago, a comedian tells a story that reminds me of Abram. And in this story, a guy in a big city gets on a bus at a bus stop, and he's the only passenger on this bus. And so he goes to the very, very back of the bus to sit down. And this is a strange prayer he prays because he asks God for a sign. Lord, he whispers, if you want me to talk to someone today about Jesus, please make it very clear to me. Give me a sign. So he's barely finished the prayer, and the bus comes to a halt at the next bus stop, and a guy gets on. And the guy totally bypasses every empty seat in the bus and chooses the seat right next to the Christian. And he says, I'm all messed up, and I've been praying for answers. I need someone to tell me about Jesus. Do you know anything about Jesus? Now, when something like that happens, it's so exciting. We've been through a series of those kinds of things, but you still have a decision to make how you view what just happened. And so did this Christian guy. He says to the guy, can you excuse me for a second? I need to pray and collect my thoughts before I try to answer that question. And he says, by all means. And he goes over to another seat, whispers a prayer, and comes back. And here's the prayer he whispered, Lord, if you really want me to talk to this stranger, I need just one more sign. So if you want me to tell him about Jesus, can you... He looks at the bus driver. Can you turn the bus driver into an armadillo? It's like, that is self-destructive on so many levels. And yet, don't we all kind of do that? Do we wait for clearer signs from God when he's already made it quite clear what he wants from us? That's something I can identify with. And that's what we're looking at a little bit from the life of Abram this morning. And it was a surprise to me because I've been teaching the story of Abraham 40-something years. And I've done whole series through it. And some of you remember back in DDB when we did that long series called The Patriarchs. And I discovered some gems. I wish I would have discovered them earlier in the week because I had to change my manuscript so many times late in the week, but here we go. Point number one, faith without action is incomplete. Now that's nothing new. Faith without action is incomplete. Here's a brand new discovery for me. We already spent a whole day or the very beginning of this series on this verse, and yet I missed something, and maybe you did too. Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I just read it like God said to Abraham. I didn't read it like God had said to Abraham. Right? And then in verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. You guys are not amazed. All right, I gotta put the pieces together. So here's the amazing thing. So when had God spoken to Abram about this? How did I miss this? It's really, really clear in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen, who becomes a martyr because of this sermon, preaches this, and we're going to just jump right into the beginning of where he explains some things. Acts 7, 2 through 4, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Now, in chapter 12, he's in Haran, okay? But he had heard from God before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him. So Genesis 11 and 12 was clear to Stephen and pretty foggy to me. Had it ever been foggy to you? Okay. God had already called Abram before arriving at Haran, but in Haran, he was on the verge of settling for less. Do you see that? So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. He had been called to go to the land he would show him, the promised land, and Haran is not it. And he was about to settle for less. And so it gives us all kinds of questions. So I thought a visual would help. And I've been trying to show you this visual for part one, then I put it off. Then part two, and then put it off. And here we are, part four, and the conclusion, I'm going to sneak it in. Here it is. Abraham's journey to Canaan from Ur to Haran is about 600 to 700 miles. That's Genesis 11. So you start on the right over there and go all the way up to Haran. From Haran to the promised land, Canaan was over 400 more miles. Abram was 75 years old, no cars, no U-Hauls. I would have settled in Haran after a 700-mile hike. It's like, it makes you wonder what else was going on. And we do discover that Terah, his father, who was with him on this journey, dies in Haran. So was it the 700-mile trek that took him out? You know? And there's some changes going on. And yet it seems like Abram is almost settling for less than the call. What happened? Well, we don't really know. We have guesses. So was it because of his father's ill health that he settled there? And it apparently is some time. I want to show you that. So was it because of what God finally did there in Haran, reiterating what the call was with a little bit more oomph and a little bit more detail? Specifically, we don't read this in Acts or anywhere else. God said in chapter 12, leave your father's household. Okay? So when you're following the call, we did highlight the fact that when you're following the call of God, you have to say no to something to say yes to what he's calling you to. There's a lot of no's that are hard to give up. Oh, we can't do this anymore. We can't do that anymore. There's this change and that change. Wait, if God is really clear, no. Okay. What's this going to do? This is amazing. We have to figure out from God that he knows what he's talking about. The bottom line is, whatever took place with Abram, God mercifully interrupted and disrupted Abram, who was about to settle for less. Got that? That's an important piece. So here's the application for us. Do we follow God until things get tough, then stop? I'm really excited about this change. I'm really excited about what's coming. I also know that change is tough. And don't then stop, because change is tough when this is the call of God. That's just my perspective. Have you ever missed out on his full blessings because obedience felt too hard for you? Yeah, we all have. We've missed out on a blessing when obedience was too hard for us, and we kind of took a long cut, and God had to disrupt it and do all kinds of things to get us back to where he wants us, right? That's common. God's blessings come when we keep moving forward, even when the path is not yet clear to us. I've been getting question after question after question about details that I don't know the answers yet for a lot of those details, but I trust God's call, and he will show us what that looks like, just like Abraham, who is told to go a certain place, and he doesn't know how to get there or where it is or what it looks like. There's, you know, and he's going by faith because it's God's call. So, reminds us that faith is not a one-time decision, but a continuous walk with an ongoing, active trust in God. Okay, welcome to Blessing Flows from Obedience. Blessing flows from obedience. I learned another really curious detail this week. Never seen it before. I assumed it to mean something and read some scholars and had a new discovery. Verse 5. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for a land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now, I had always assumed that highlighted section there, the people they had acquired in Haran, I had always assumed he had this entourage of servants or slaves, which was a cultural thing, employees, that he has joining him now. That's what I assumed it to be. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. New discovery. Let me just, because of time, rattle off this discovery. The term people, Hebrew, N-E-P-E-S. I didn't take Hebrew, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I'm like, okay, I will. Nepes. Likely doesn't refer to slaves or servants. Accumulated possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired, the nepes. It's not usually a term used for servants. It's not usually a term used for people. The word nepes isn't typically used for either of those. There's a better word for servants and a more usual word for people. Scholar Casuto translates the phrase as follows. The souls they had won in Haran. That has a whole different connotation. The souls they had acquired. This entourage that was traveling to the promised land is learning from Abram's lips for the first time about a God that is personal, that revealed himself to a person. And they are believing him, and they don't like the paganism they're living in, and all that's all they know, and they go with Abram. Here's the main point for us. Just as Abram shared his newfound faith in Yahweh in Haran, we too are called to share the good news of Jesus with those around us, wherever we are, wherever we go. Our faith should ripple outwards. So let's take as many people to heaven as we can. Promised Land is a picture of heaven for us. And this thing that we're going through as a church, the heart of it is we want to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. Point number two, faith faces obstacles. So we just read at verse 5 that they finally arrived in Canaan, finally know which land it is that they're supposed to be occupying, and the land that's their promised land, that's going to be theirs. And then we read in verse 6, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Well, duh, it's called Canaan. You'd expect Canaanites to live there, but I'm not sure that's what Abram was picturing. They're going to a land that is going to be the promised land. It's going to be yours. One problem, it's occupied. That's a total big deal. It's a huge problem. How in the world is this totally occupied land going to become our promised land for my offspring? That's crazy. Everything seems impossible. An occupied land, a barren wife, advancing years. And yet, here's what we know about the God who is a relational God. He totally delights in the impossible. And from my perspective, we've just gone through a total delight in the impossible. I mean, I could not describe an impossible situation more deeply than what I've been trying to describe to you, but nicely, because I didn't know the answer, but I knew God was working out the answer. And so I trusted, kept taking a step in my journey, one day at a time. And it's like, this is the same God. He's the same relational being who totally cares about every one of us and where we're going. And this is the same church, because the church is not the building. The church is the people. And he's taking us on this new leg of the journey. So we had this first leg all the way to Haran. Let's not settle there. Let's go on with God into what he has for us. We're still us, but we get to be a part with others. And it's going to be fabulous. And I'm excited about that. And yet, obedience doesn't eliminate challenges. It strengthens our faith to face them. So, let me ask the question. What are we learning about God, not Abraham? What are we learning about God in this story so far? There's so much there. God is a relational God. He's not far away and distant and impersonal. He's quite active in developing our strength when we're bumblers. And he's really compassionate and merciful with us who are totally messed up. And he's writing a story for us and including us in his story that brings honor to him and blessing to others. And he's blessing us not because we earned it or deserved it. Take a look at Abram's life, you'll notice that's not it. God has a plan that he's inviting us to be a part of. Many are called, but few are chosen. So participate in it. Respond to the invitation. Be obedient in it, because the blessings flow out of that obedience. Point number three. Obedience unlocks greater blessings. Verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he began to go again. He's being obedient, and God blesses Abraham with an appearance. He's spoken to him, and I think maybe even appeared to him in the past, but he needs this appearance now when everything just got amped up in terms of obstacles. Okay? And so it's the light of looking into the face of God, the worship in looking into the face of God that displaces the darkness and the questions and the doubts. And God blesses Abram with his own presence as he appears to him. And God knew that Abram needed this. He needed this monumental moment. And it's tangible reminder. Because what Abram is asked to believe will again and again and again be hard to believe again. Okay? When you hit the obstacles, the joy, the excitement, the wonder of it, and, oh, we're going off to the promised land, boom, obstacle, the doubts will creep in. Worship the God who calls. Look into the light, the one who is confirming. Don't look into the darkness and swirl down into the tube of that black hole. Look into the light and be encouraged. Don't forget what you learned in the light, because you're in the dark and have questions again. And to encourage that, and Abram knew enough to do the right thing, he created a tangible reminder to keep him reminded in all of this in a monument. Abram builds a monument to remember this monumental moment when God doubles down on his promise with an appearance that is unforgettable, so that he will be encouraged later when he doubts again. And there's twists and turns in his life. It helps him remember and not doubt in the dark what he saw in the light of God's presence. So as we prepare for point four, obedience doesn't just bring blessings for us in the moment. Obedience impacts us, and it impacts our future. Obedience impacts the lives around us and the lives of those who come after us. Obedience creates opportunities for future generations, for generations to come. We sometimes don't look at our obedience as important enough. We only look at it in the moment, particularly when we're tempted to disobey or settle for less. And the obstacles make it hard. Point number four, worship and proclamation are proper responses. As if to emphasize that, verse 8. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Now, what we need to understand is a little bit about altars and a little bit about what it means to call on the name of the Lord. Abram built an altar to the Lord, and this is a public thing that is left in a pagan culture. Altars are typically public structures visible to those around. Abram doesn't just worship privately. He calls on the name of the Lord, making a public proclamation of his faith in the land of Canaan. this is a public declaration about God, a God nobody in that area knew, his character qualities that are matchless compared to their paganism, which is horrifically dark. In a pagan land, Abram openly proclaimed the name of the one true God, making Yahweh's name known to the Canaanites. Worship is an essential response to the faithfulness of God, but so is proclamation. So, like Abraham, we are called to proclaim God's faithfulness to others around us who do not yet know him. Guess what? We have a new story to tell. We have new good news to talk about. Let's make sure we root that good news into the relational character of God, who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us on a cross. Let's make sure we root that story of our good news about reaching people with this great news and taking as many people to the promised land, heaven, into the kingdom of God. This isn't just someplace far away that's later when we go, we can enter into the kingdom of his presence right now in the joys of forgiveness and the power of living in a relationship with a relational God. We can begin to speak with people who have no clue as we tell our own stories, as we talk about the reality of this relational God, our own struggles, and how God is helping us even through the difficulty, the good stuff and the bad stuff, and doing a beautiful thing. We need to start worshiping and proclaiming. It's the correct response to the faithfulness and the love and the goodness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, expressed with power through his Spirit, who is given to us by virtue of what he has done for us on the cross. The very one who was the offspring that God promised to Abraham, through whom the whole world would be blessed. And here we are, blessed. And with that blessing, we have a responsibility to bless others. You see, church isn't about us. We are the church. And we are about the mission of God. To go proclaim the good news of his son Jesus, that there is a path of rescue, and we are making that available. Let's worship. Let's proclaim. Let's let the talk of the town be about what God is going to do right here in rippling effect outward in a powerful, powerful way. I am excited, and you need to be too. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for how we can travel, journey, go through ups and downs and twists and turns, hardships and be carried, joys and celebrate, and then to make sure that we're following you and carrying your mission to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that this epicenter would be the epicenter of the Verde Valley, that is the talk of the town, that we would see marriages that are hurting be healed, parents that are struggling to have new hope, children that are hurting to laugh, the addicted to be set free, your name to be on the lips of all of us because we've never seen the likes of it. Bless us, Lord, and help us to bless others and to honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer today, we ask the prayer team to come to the left of the stage. Anything you need prayer about, we encourage you to go get prayer. If you're a guest today, we'd love for you to fill out the Connect card, drop it off at the Next Steps table. We'd love to tell you more. Thank you for coming today. And I'd love to tell you what next week holds, but the way God has been working these days, let's just go to next week, shall we? It's going to be exciting.